maybe, well, let's find out what the matter is.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
I thought I would start off about me when I was a little girl and when I could remember. It seems to me the first thing I remember of any magnitude was when I was going to Cuba with my mother and father, and we were going out the front door, and Florence and the boys were really cross to think that they were taking me. Now, the reason they were taking me is because I had just gotten over pneumonia. I was 3 years old.
3 years old.
3 years old, and so they took me. And I had been shaved, practically. I was like a little boy. And I remember that meant, because it was brought up to me so often afterwards about what a spoiled child I was. I was always a spoiled child, they said.
Well, you were the youngest one.
Well, that's true, but now I was sick so much of the time. God forbid. So I thought that's where I would begin. And then I would begin remembering how my relationship to my sisters and brothers. And mostly, of course, I remember my sister, who always was very much taller than I. I've always been a little shrimp. And I was always the type who liked to stay at home and sew doll clothes. And my sister liked to go out with the boys and do their stuff. So there are a few instances I'd like to report because they're funny. At one time, Florence said to me, "Now come on, baby, let's go out to the barn and see how the cows are doing." Well, no, cow. One cow is, oh yeah. So we went up to the hayloft and we started pushing a little bit of hay down, and finally Florence said, "Why don't you go down there? See how it's doing." So she pushed me down in the hayloft, and the cow was down eating her cud, and I got sick. She couldn't get me up. I was down too far for the cow to eat, and not far enough for the cow to eat, and down too far for Florence to pick me up.
How old were you then?
Oh, I must have been 5 or 6, maybe.
You scared?
Well, I imagine I was probably petrified. I don't remember. That I don't remember. I remember Florence didn't like it very well. So she went to out and called Wally, who was the maid that we had at that time. And Wally was frantic, and she called Mother. And the two of them came out and went up to the hayloft, and eventually I came out.
Well, the hayloft was high.
Hayloft high, yeah, on top of the barn. I mean, it was on the barn, but it was on the top part of the barn. This is where we used to find little mice every now and then. We put them in the box and enjoy them and, you know, feed them and stuff. Well, that was one trick she did. And she was always doing tricks, and I was always the sad end of it. At another time, the cow came. This is at 2000 Jackson Street in Sioux City, Iowa, where I was born.
Is that where the farm is?
No, there was no farm there, no.
Well, what are you talking about, cows and barns?
Because we had... Well, I remember this was in, oh Lord, must have been about 1900 or something like that. And we had, you remember our house? We had I want to tell you about the house. But first of all, we had a big house that had supposedly 8 or 10 rooms, it did. And then next to that was the barn. And at that time, we had a cow, which had a calf, who had a calf every year. And then we had a hayloft, obviously, and we had a place for the cars, but we didn't get a car until about 12 or something like that.
What was the cow for?
The cow was for milk, silly boy.
So you got milk,
the first cow was.
You never dairy then?
Oh, no. And then, you see, 2000 Jackson Street, where I was born, or Florence was born, two boys were not, was about a third of a city block. And the third of that, next to that, was where the garage and maybe not a third. And then opposite, the next to that, was where we had, they grew corn. Yes, indeed, they did, because this is where I learned to smoke.
How big was that? What's your land again?
Like one whole block. We had the front half. Yes. Okay. But I want to tell you about
the corn.
What?
Yeah, Dad talked about the corn.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to tell you about the house because this is interesting too. I didn't know this until just not very many years ago. It was a pretty house, and And the top part of it, what would you call it? Well, it had kind of a cupola, and under that was Father's library, and where he used to work. But on the outside, it's a three-story house. Fourth, if you want to call it this, three-story house. So on the second floor, when you went out the front door, which was one of the windows in Mother and Father's bedroom, yes, you would see all this chopped glass and crockery and, oh my God, all kinds of stuff. And it was stuck in the wall. Now, what they had...
The concrete wall?
Well, it was not a concrete, it was some kind of I don't know how you do it. And anyway, it was stuck in there. What do you want me to do? And all these pieces were in there. And we used to have people come by frequently who would stop and look at that house. They couldn't get over it. Nobody had ever seen anything like it. And it was unusual. But it was only a few years ago that I was told that the man who built this built it for his bride. And his bride came from Europe. And on her way over on the boat, she had all her beautiful china. And it all got broken. And the only way he thought he could pacify her was to see that she still had it. It couldn't be replaced, but it could be put in the house. And this is what it was. A lot of it, all his beautiful, beautiful things, were in the side of the house. And so we used to have guessing games with this stuff. We'd guess which one we were thinking of. Really quite unique.
Yeah.
And, well, that's...
How big was much of the wall that you think of?
Well, it'd be about this high. What would that be, about 12 feet? Mm-hmm. It'd be the whole... It would, oh, probably even more than that, because it would be one... Let's see. There were three floors, so it'd be one floor high. One
was
floor
and outside wall or inside wall?
Well, this is the outside, of course.
Outside wall.
This is the outside, so you can see it from the street. You can see it from every place. That's why people stop in their surreys. And then we often used to see people stopping and pointing up there, and of course, eventually we learned what it was all about. Very well. Now I want to get back to my sister again. She used to be so annoyed at me because I wouldn't play with it. However, she got me down to climb a tree. And we went down about a block away from where we lived, and I, of course, had to follow. But she was darn close to the top when I was on the second one, and I fell. And I fell, and you know where, right between my legs. And I screamed, I suppose, and whatnot. So on the way home, my one leg said to the other, "You go your way and I'll go mine." I got home, I was crying. I probably was 6 years old or so. And I developed an abscess, which Father had to lend. I was really a mess. So that ended my tree climbing. Those are a few things. Then, another thing she did, we got along, but it was, she had her own friends, and as I say, I had my little stuff. And she was a very strong girl, and another thing, she really used to do this. We had always had we never called them maid, they were always hired girls, which is what they were. And so in this house, there were two doors, one going from the front door into the back and all the way through, in through the hall and the second door, second hallway, and then into the kitchen. And then there was another door from the kitchen going into the butler's pantry and then into the dining room and out. Okay. So Florence and Weir thought it'd be nice. They put a potato or two and some water in a pan on the top of the door, which was going from the kitchen out of the kitchen into the dining room, and then of course in up to the front room. So they went out, of course, and rang the bell so that Wally, who was the hired girl's name, would come. Well, she went through the wrong door. She went through the one that didn't have this happening because it was shorter. Well, they didn't know how to do this, but so they started all over again. Anyway, I said, "Well, you better go out the other way." They did, and of course, the potato and the water fell on her head. Well, so this is one of their tricks.
So you were part of it.
Well, only in helping him out.
Yeah.
Just in helping him out.
But Dad used to talk about doing that to his brother and to each other. They used to play a lot of tricks, but they all, our family did.
Oh, yes, yes. But Ross was he was a trickster. The Culligan boys, you know the Culligan hot water people? Don't you know it? The Culligan water? Haven't you ever seen that? Oh, he's a millionaire now. Well, they were our neighbors, and the Culligans lived just a block away. And we used to have them up to dinner occasionally, I guess. You know, anybody, all the kids would come to dinner and whatnot. And so this night, Emmett was there. And Emmett sat next to Ross. And I don't remember what we had, but we must have had something that you could make a sandwich of. I don't know how this could have worked out. Maybe it was a dessert. Maybe it was cake for all I know. And so he put some, not some black pepper, but some mustard or something that was just god-awful. And poor guy, poor Emmett, he tasted this, and it was so awful he wanted to spit it out, but he didn't think he should. He didn't know whether this was bad or what. He had to suffer through it. And eventually Ross started to laugh. That was one of his tricks.
Was this typical of people in those days, or was this peculiar?
I don't know, because I didn't know other families. No, I don't think it was peculiar. No, I think we could get away with stuff like that. Well, I think a lot of families, you know, you couldn't.
You mean people in those days were more mischievous?
Oh, I think so. I think maybe. And another thing,
movies and things.
That's right. They just,
they made up their own mischief.
Well, I don't know, but this was another thing. This is something weird did to me. I used to have to. In fact, I used to tell a lot of tales. And my mother had a hard time, or thought she did, trying to figure out which was a lie and which was fairy tales. Because I had an imagination, it's just terrific, it still is. And so, I would tell these stories. And one time she discovered that one of them was a lie. So she had to punish me, of course. My punishment, I must have been about 7, I guess. My punishment was, to help the maid, or the one keep wanting to call the hired girl, do the dishes, okay? So I was out up on a high chair, really, so you see I was pretty low and pretty young, and with my arms, my dress was rolled up. And so Weir came out, and we had a heater in the kitchen, the water heater, and he had a knife. So he put the blade of the knife on the water here and got it nice and hot. And then he came over and he put it on my arm. And I squealed, of course. And Father happened to be home, and he came out to find out. The Father didn't know my great deal. So he came out to find out. Oh, boy. He said to Weir, which would you rather have, a burn or a whipping? And Father said, or Weir said, he'd rather have a burn. So Father got his knife out. A big one. Isn't that bad? And he did the same thing. He put it when Weir told me he had that mark till he died, or whenever. Isn't that bad?
I don't know.
I think that was bad. Well, those are just some of the things. Now,
maybe he didn't do it. If he did it worse than Dad did, or maybe he could at least, I think it was good to let him know what he had done.
I know, but he didn't have to get his knife out and do it that bad.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I
don't think that was good at all. And, well...
Do you think your dad was fair a lot of the time or not fair?
Well, I didn't have enough to do... I never had very much to do with him. Because he never... wasn't home enough a lot.
You
didn't have much
to do with the rest of the kids?
No. And he never... only once in my life do I ever remember him chastising me, punishing Florence and me. And we were with my cousin, Edna Jepson, and we were out in the backyard, and I could still see us swinging back and forth. We had a colored man who was in charge of the car, I guess it was, or whatever, and we were calling him names. And Father saw it. And he got us in there, and he gave us each a paddling. That's the first time and only time he ever struck me or ever did anything.
How about with the boys?
I don't think he ever punished them that I know of. I don't ever remember him. If he did, I don't recall it.
Did you all get along with him pretty well?
Oh, yeah, but he didn't. You see, we were only, We were, mother and father divorced when I was 17. And he became very queer acting about the time, let's see, I must have been around 12 or so. He used to make a habit, he'd bring in, he'd lot of doctors home, you know, for dinner.
A lot of what?
Doctors home to dinner. Somebody might come in town, he'd bring two or three of them home and call the last minute and say about it, you know, and then it was pretty difficult for mother and all of us.
Why?
Well, I mean, to get something ready and have it ready for him, and then he wouldn't speak to mother at the table. He was very, very strange. And then he
what
just,
do you mean?
Well, I think it's strange, you know, tearing up about your wife to speak to her and so forth.
You just would talk with the man?
Yeah, he just treated her like she was a servant.
Did you all eat together?
Oh, sure. And then he got to the point that he was going to live up in his quarters, and his quarters were on the third floor where I told you.
On the same end?
Oh, sure. Yeah, but he was going to stay up there anyway. And I don't, well, because there were two, there were on the third floor there was a billiard room, and then there were two maids' rooms and a trunk room. So there was a bed and then one of the maids' rooms, and he may have slept there for all I know, I don't know. And I can recall this. My mother just doted on him. She just loved him. And he'd write her notes rather than talk to her. Well, he said he was very, I said the part was when I was so fearful for mother, because I didn't know whether he, I had a feeling that maybe he might hit her or something. And I used to sit on the bottom of the stairs going up to the third floor when she'd go up to talk to him. And I would hear her cry, and I'd hear him yelling at her, and then I'd start to cry. I haven't any idea what he was yelling about. And when I say yelling, I don't mean like a wild man, but talking over and above his usual voice. So then when she'd come down, I used to cry myself to sleep. And I used to often knock on the door to find out whether she was still alive. I had such fear for something happening to her. And this went, the strangest thing, I could never stand to hear about violin. It always made me cry.
Why?
Because, I don't know why.
There wasn't a violin there.
No, but we had lots of music in our house. Father was crazy about music.
Yeah.
And we had a Victrola, and we had this and that. And of course, I'd certainly heard a lot of violins. And I remember when I went to the convent, and we had the violin soloist come out from Chicago to play, I'd have to get up and leave. I was just in tears. Strange thing, wasn't it? All right, now let's get back to some of that stuff. So about father. And then he, when he left, oh dear Florence, what a struggle. Father was taking his things out and we were on the third floor. Florence was about to jump out of the window. She was so disturbed by it. But we contained her. And of course it was just awful because mother just doted on father. He went down to live at the office, I guess. And of course, he had another woman, because he had dad.
Had he had many before, you think?
Well, I think he, of course I do, but I don't think everybody knew about a lot of them. But this woman, I'll just tell you this. I don't like to do this, in a sense. I don't think I will, because, you know, something came to me, and it's been for me for a long time. My father was no more different than a lot of men are. And I used to hate him for what he did because he did it. He just so crushed mother and the rest of us. And then I thought, well, who am I to judge him? Why should I judge him? I'm not the one. I don't know what his temptations were. They may be terrific, and may have been terrific, and I'm sure they were, and women were nuts about him. So my mother said this to us, she would never let us say anything against father, ever, no matter what. Remember, he's your father. She never would. She loved him to her dying day. Now then, I began thinking also. You remember, there were six children. And they were every 2 years. And the problem is, or the possibility is, that maybe father wanted to have a little more sex than maybe mother did. However, well, I can't help what Bill thought. This is what No. We don't know, of course not. I think it's a possibility where anything like that comes up. I think this is a possible thing. But on the other hand, I think she was so nuts about him that it's hard for me to believe that she would ever do that. That's the reason. Yes, I think she would just be so amenable. Well, I know, but that would make no difference.
Even in those days.
Oh, no, I think she would do anything for my father. I think she was so crazy about him. And he was about her, too, you know. That was the interesting thing. And do you know that when she died, he was at the back of the church? Yes. Oh, no, it was really a love affair. There was no death.
How long were they married?
Well, I don't remember how long.
20 years.
Oh, more than that, because, the first baby was Terrence, and he died when he was 3 weeks old. He had erysipelas. And then the next one was Byron Gregory, and he was kicked to the temple by a horse when he was about seven. And then Ross was next, and then Weir, and then 3 years later, Florence, 2 years later, So there were six children. And I think that, I didn't want to tell you this bit because I've known about several of the women that he was interested in, and I was young. It was a pretty hard thing for a young kid to face, and mother didn't want us to know it. Florence is the one that told me. And
then,
oh no, she told me at the time when the nurse that was in the house when Florence had she had scarlet fever and jolly goings on. Now this is pretty tough on mother. Never a word out of her. Never. She suffered through it all. Now I'm not taking out a side. Yes, I am too. Obviously taking a side. But what I want to do is to say. Well, I think this is what I'm trying to do. And again, I say, and I do, I pray for my father every night of my life because I know that his temptations were great. After all of us Jetsons are pretty much, in a way, gifted to the temptations, and it's a very hard and strong person to not fall for them. And particularly, you have to have, at least I felt so, something important, and that's what I have, and that's what I have, and that's the only thing I have which keeps me and has the way I am. Oh, very well. Now then, to go back to Florence. So, Florence wanted to go to boarding school. Florence was crazy about the boys. I always was too. I was always crazy about the boys. So was Florence. But Florence was sensitive, extremely sensitive. She didn't want anybody to know about it. And when she was about 13 or 14, several boys in the city, were very enamored with her. And father found it out. Well, when I say, I mean, just, they were, those were kids, they were just kind of, I don't know, there's nothing to find out, or, you know. Oh, well, of course. Well, he jumped on her. Well, that's all that poor girl needed because she's so sensitive anyway. It was just terrible. So she wouldn't even look at one after that. Oh, it was just, oh, yeah, mother had such a hard time. This is what ruined Florence's life and so on. I just keep this in mind about this boy stuff. So, she wanted to go away to school. And she wanted to go to the Mound, because this is where we had friends. That's the St. Clair's Academy in Cincinnati, Wisconsin.
The convent?
Yes, it's the convent. And she asked Father, and he wouldn't answer her, or didn't. And finally, it was about 2 weeks after school had begun, when she said, now, Ted, you go down, you ask him. So I went out, because she thought Father would give me anything. I didn't know that, but that's what she thought. Well, he gave me a blow then because he said, yes, she can go and you can go with her. Well, I had no intention of going. I was just 12 years old and I was my mother's baby and I wanted to stay alone. Well, I had to go then. It was a command performance. So we had to get our Miss Johnson, Tilly. You know, in those days, they had sewing women and we had Tilly. My gosh, I think I don't ever remember not having Tilly. She came twice a year to make clothes for Mother and for us girls. And my mother dressed beautifully. She had some beautiful clothes. She looked like a naga when they went to the theater and anything like that. Oh, boy. Well, so Tilly came post-haste because they had to make little suits for me and whatnot. And off we went to the mound, and I took my teddy bear with me. There was a sad bird, and it was me. I think I cried all the time, and I wanted my mama, and I'm sure my mama wanted me. Oh, it was just awful.
So how many boys were left? Two or three?
Who, at home?
At home.
You mean where else?
Was Byron?
Oh, he died.
Gone.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was killed at the horse before a farm. He was killed when Florence was a baby. I wasn't even born then. Yeah, no, there wasn't anybody home, and the boys were at boarding school.
Oh, they were all.
Oh yeah, so none of us were together very often when as time went on.
And
mm-hmm.
Grandfather might have been playing around at the corner.
Oh, of course he was.
So that left your mother home
all alone and worrying about all the rest of us and so forth. Yeah,
and having
no. Oh, it was just pretty sad. Well. So then, and at boarding school, Florence, oh, she was the big cat. Oh, you know, she was tall, and she just could boss anybody around, including me. And when I went home, I remember after Christmas, I took some gum. I must have taken $1 worth of gum, and I put it under the mattress. I said, "Where'd you get that gum?" And I wouldn't answer. Well, we had to go out and take our baths twice a week, and out, well, down the hall, you know, to the bed where they had they're lined up.
In the school?
The school, yeah, school, they're lined up.
Okay.
We could take any more as we wanted to, but we had to take two baths a week anyway. So I was out, and she was having a fun time hunting for the gum and found it under the mattress. Boy, when I came back, she had locked the door. Here I am in my bathroom. Locked the door. Ranting at me, "You little liar. You told..." And she wouldn't let me in. I couldn't even get down to dinner. And the nuns came. Florence let her... No, but she defied anybody. So I didn't get in. So after she was getting ready and all ready, and after they had the meals ready, and I had to get on in.
Oh, the nuns couldn't even make it over?
No. No, no, not the nun that I called her anyway. Well, that was that. And, but the thing is, if anybody did anything to me, she was after them. She protected me just like a mother hen. But boy, she could just be bad to me. Well, anyway, that was that. Then she went to, on her, must have been her junior year, because we only went to the mound that one year. And then this was the next year. So she went to Hackettstown, New Jersey.
Right.
To a very, this is Dad's idea. He found a school. Very expensive girls' school. She had to have clothes. She was, looked like Mrs. Astor's pet horse. And so she had all those. And I went to the school. I went to grade school. I went to high school in Sioux City, Iowa.
And you were back home then?
Yes, I lived with Mother. Mother and I were living alone in this big house. And Father was forever. Well,
was his studio far away?
What?
Where was he living then?
I don't know.
Where he moved out?
Oh yeah, he moved out.
To his office?
Well, maybe. I don't know where he moved.
Oh. Have you been living with his girlfriend?
Oh, I don't think he would do that in Sioux City.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
So he would back the quarters.
I would imagine. Maybe he probably lived at the office.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, because I didn't see him. And so then the next year, I had a little girlfriend, Jessie Scott, and her father was congressman from Iowa. And we used to go together like peas in a pod, and she was lonesome for me in Washington, so her father asked my mother if I couldn't go and live with him for a year. And so that's fine. And I guess I asked Father. Well, I don't remember about that, but anyway, I went. So I had lots of experience that no other girl my age had ever had. I was only 17, and I went to the embassy balls, I'll have you know, and I went to the senators' parties, and that's a long story, it's another thing. But it's interesting, because this is when I was alerted to social life, as it were. And I had some very lovely clothes, and I went with Phil LaFalla, whom you don't know anything about, and Sam Pepper's son, and I had lots of love affairs. When I say interests, and Jesse and I had, Jesse was my friend, it's kind of interesting, because the boys that would like her decided they'd like me, and vice versa. And we always had such a great time going back and forth. And we went to college together, and she married a boy from Sioux City that I used to go with. Well,
did you see any of Aunt Florence since you were both on the East Coast?
What? Since when?
Since you were both on the East Coast. She was in New Jersey and you were in Washington.
Oh, when you see Aunt Florence, I'm thinking of my Aunt Florence. No, because she was there a different time. She was there in her junior year, and I went to Washington 2 years later. Then she went back to the Mound, and she was graduated from the Mound in college. And then I went back. Then from there, she went to Minnesota. Then I went back to the Mound and was graduated from high school. And then I went to the University of Minnesota. So that's how that is. But now,
did your family ever moved to Minnesota?
Yes, family being
your grandfather.
Oh Lord, no, 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 no.
He always remained in Sioux City.
Yeah, you mean dead.
Your dad.
Oh yeah. Well, mother and father. All right. So, when I was still in high school in Sioux City, mother and father were divorced, and all of this in the newspaper, columns of Dr. Jepson doesn't even come down to dinner, and Dr. Jepson doesn't do this.
And they gave the details.
Oh, Lord, and even in Chicago. Well, a lot of it wasn't true, but don't you know enough about gossip and stuff?
Didn't you know, Dave?
Well, yes, and of course, Dad was a very important man, and it was even in the Chicago papers. Well, Mother felt so sorry for me because I had to go to the school, and the kids knew about it. Well, it was pretty sad.
Did they taunt you?
Well, no, they didn't do that, but I'm sure. I don't recall.
Yeah.
No. So then, when they were divorced, we decided, Ross was of Minnesota, and he called and wanted to, he said, why don't you come up here and kids can go to school up here? Because I was all ready to go to Smith. Mother said I could go to Smith, and I think seems to me to substantiate. I'm not quite sure, but anyway, that's where I wanted to go and intended to go. But I didn't. So Mother and I packed up and we went to Minnesota. Minneapolis, and so Ross lived with us, and I went to school there.
Where'd you live?
Well, we lived not too far from the university. We lived about 6 blocks from the university.
Was the house in Sioux City sold?
Not then. I don't know when it sold. So.
What was the nicest thing about your mom?
Oh, well, first of all, my mother used to. I was the youngest, as you know, and my mother, I was very affectionate. And I'm the only one with her, I guess, who was demonstrably affectionate. So, of course, she used to call me the kissing bug, because I was always wanting to sit on her lap, and my brothers and sisters said, my God, you've done this until you're 8 years old. Well, I did. I just loved my mother. And she was a very, very refined, gentle, beautiful woman.
She was a baker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the bakers came from
where? Well, the bakers, all right, I have to go into the bakers. The bakers originally came from New York State, and my grandmother Baker was in Teresa, Ellen Teresa, gosh, what was her name before she was Baker, was born in Toronto, and she came from apparently a very affluent family. I think I said this in this other deal. Because she had some beautiful jewelry, which we still have a couple pieces of. That's not good English. And so my grandmother used to go to New York, and apparently she was there for a party. I'm going to call it a coming out party for one of her friends, because it sounded like that. And when she told me how she was dressed and how elegant it was, I assumed that that's what it was.
This was after you were kidding me. This was before she was married?
No, before she was married. This is before she was married. She's a young girl, probably 18, 19. And she met Terence Baker, who was eventually to become her husband.
And oh, really? This is your mother?
This is my mother's father.
Oh, Terence Baker?
Yes. My mother's name is Baker. And she, well, I'll carry on with this. So she married, so eventually she married Terence Baker. And her family were not very happy about it because he was a young man who had just graduated from Genesee College. And that is a very, very old college in New York, one of the very earliest, Genesee College. And he was graduated from pharmacy, I believe it is, and what else, I don't know. But he was not very, he was kind of poor, I guess. But my grandmother loved him dearly, apparently. So she defied her parents and left Toronto and went to New York City, and I suppose was buried there. Now, I don't know where
what time did they come in?
What year?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
In the swell.
1860?
Oh, no, before that. Well, we can just
before that?
Well, I would think so. After all, I was born in 1897, and my grandmother, well, it must have been, what, 80 years before that one, would that be? All right, so that's about 1800. Well,
what
did you say? Huh? Well, I was born in 1897.
How old was your mom when you were born?
She was 34 or 5, I think.
How old did you think she was when she got married?
Probably 18 or 19, my mother. I don't know. I could look it up.
They got married early.
Oh, yes. But maybe she was older than that. Maybe 20 or so, because she taught school. All right, now, let me just finish with this.
Wait, I'm just...
That doesn't sound
like
me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, they were married, and I don't know how long they stayed in the East. And I don't know whether he started with his pharmacy then or not, but he met friends or had friends who thought, because it must have been a time of hard to get jobs, I don't know. And so they thought, same old story, the West young man. So he and his bride, I believe, must have been bride, because none of the girls had been married, had been born yet, went to Iowa City, Iowa, where the university was. And while they were there, they had four daughters. And my mother was the oldest, and her name was Beatrice Elizabeth.
That's Gangle.
Yes, that's Gangle. And then the second child was Florence Baker Mulhall.
She married
them all. Right? Yes, that's right. I'm finding that. And the third one was Stella Baker Tooker, up here. And then there was a fourth one, a daughter, Caroline. They called her Callie. And she became a nun at a very late age. She must have been 35 or 6. And went to the convent was in Devil's Lake, Minnesota. North Dakota. And she had a ruptured appendix and died 4 or 5 years later. Now, so my great-grandfather, who was Terence Baker, was apparently, according to my mother, a very, very loving father.
So that's just grandfather, not great-grandfather.
It's your great-grandfather.
Well, I agree, but your grandfather.
Yeah, he would be. I never saw him, of course, he would be my grandfather. Fine. So, he was a very loving and very...
He was English, I guess, with that name, or Canadian?
I don't know. His wife was, and I don't know what he was. His name was Terence Baker. But we have pictures of his family, and they were pretty prestigious, if you all have, you know. Oh, anyway, that's beside the point. So, he... It was, as I told you, a very loving, loving father, according to my mother, and my mother, all the girls liked him so well. And he was a Methodist. My grandmother, of course, was a Catholic, and I don't know what kind of role, Catholic. And he used to have the girls kneel down, and he'd listen to them say their prayers. He was a very broad-minded, but he was a very darling man, according to this. And my grandmother was a matriarch. And she was very attractive, I guess. But she's the one who pulled the punches, I assume. Now then, I want to tell you this, because when I was going to college and I was going out to dance, and my grandmother was staying with us, and I thought I looked pretty swish. And I had an evening dress on, as we did then, and it was pointed down the front. Well, she said, you may think that's all right, but when I was your age, I wore my dresses off my shoulders, and I had puffs, and I had this and that. And then I could see why this beautiful, Connie has it now, this beautiful, beautiful pin. It was, your mother has one, something comparable, did that? But it's in almost an Alice Blue a cameo. And it's a big one with gold all around it. She had some beautiful jewelry. And, well, this is it. So that was my grandmother. Now then, so my grandfather, I think, did pretty well in the business. However, he was in the drug, the pharmacology stuff. And I don't know why or how or for what reason, but he died, and he died very young. I don't think he was over 35 or 36. So he left my grandmother with four girls. And my grandmother had to do, like all widows did then, start a boarding house, which she did. And at the boarding house, I don't know whether, my father, Wilhelm Jepson, who was going to the University of Iowa and studying medicine, was either staying there or eating there, but be that as it may, this is where he met my mother. And my grandmother thought he was a catch, and my grandmother was the kind who knew these things. You know what I mean. And my mother was a very, as I said, gentle, loving, reserved. Not, she might give the impression of being timid, but not when it came, when she had something to say, she said it. But I mean, she was not a volatile person. So, there was another man that my mother met and knew, and why I always remember it, I'll never know, his name is Joe Allein. Allein. And he turned out to be a banker in Chicago, and was a very affluent banker. And mother loved him a lot more, I guess. At least she, no, I thought she did from what she said. That she cared more for him than she did for dad. But grandmother was persuasive, so she married father. And I think she loved him. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. And he certainly loved her in the young time. Yeah, at that time, my father.
How old do you think they were?
What?
Oh, you think they were about 18
or 19? No. They must have been older than that, because my mother had, mother and Aunt Florence and Aunt Stella all taught school. And they taught in Lamar's, Iowa. So they must have been 21 or 2, I guess. Yeah, 19 or 2, I don't know. Those days, that's my guess. And so they moved to Sioux City, Iowa. And I think, yes. And I think grandmother did too, because the girls were all gone. I think she probably did too. I think they all moved to Sioux City, as I recall from hearsay. And the mother and father had a little house on Iowa Street in Sioux City. So, you know, Iowa was beyond Douglas, if you know where that was, a little place. And that's where the first two children, she had Terrence, the oldest one, who died of erysipelas after he was 2 weeks old, and then she had...
What is that?
Erysipelas. It's a kid, you swell up and whatever. It's a very bad, and he was just a baby, and 2 weeks old. And then she had Byron Gregory, who was a darling lad, according to the pictures. He was a dear one, and he was, he's so conscientious. Now, by that time, they had moved over to 2000 Jackson Street to this magnificent home, which is what it was supposed to have been during those days. It was a very, one of the prestigious places, if you want to call it, during that time. And with this hardwood floor, do you remember it all? Do you know? Well, it had 12, I could go into this, it had 12 rooms, 3 floors, and then a basement, and it had a beautiful parquet floor in the dining room. And, it was really pretty elegant. Well, it had
bathrooms.
Well, it only had one, but that's the way they did it then. Mm-hmm. Except they had one in mother and father's room. They had a sink and stuff, but not a toilet. And then they had the top floor had 2 rooms for maids. Only we always call them hired help, kitchen help. I don't think they ever only had 2 once in a while to get it. And then there was a trunk room up there and a billiard room. And my father studied. And over the study was this cupola. Now then, I want to tell you about this house because it was made, the lower part was red brick, and the brick was probably stone brick. I mean, maybe what, 20 inches by 18? And that was the lower part. But the top, when you get up to the second floor, there was over the front porch, there was another porch up there with a railing. And so you could go out there and you could see what the decorator, if you want to call it that, the builder had done. And he had taken pieces of china, pieces of glass, pieces of cinders, or pieces of anything to put into this part of the house to decorate it. And it was very, very unique. And we used to have people stopping by the house and looking up. And this just went on frequently because it was very, very unique. And only recently, just recently, did I hear this story. And it was Lucille Jepson, my cousin, Sifford, who told me this, and told me she had heard it from somebody who had done some research, that the owner who built this had his bride, and his bride came from Europe, and she brought this beautiful set of spoiled china and glass, etc. And by the time it got to 2000 Jackson Street, it